You are listening to a Sunday sermon from St. Thomas Episcopal Church in Bellevue, Washington. We are a community that seeks God's presence, serves Christ and others, and grows together in faith. Welcome to our podcast.
The following sermon was recorded on September 9th, 2018, the 16th Sunday after Pentecost, by the Reverend Lex Breckenridge, rector at St. Thomas.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus set out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there. Yet he could not escape notice, but a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him, and she came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile of Syrophoenician origin. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. He said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." But he then said to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." So she went home, found the child lying on the bed and the demon gone. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went by way of Sidon towards the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. They brought him to a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him aside in private, away from the crowd, and put his fingers into his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And immediately his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered them to tell no one, but the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astounded beyond measure, saying, "He has done everything well. He makes even the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
One of the most challenging and yet satisfying jobs I've ever had was in the 4 years I served as the senior chaplain and instructor of religious studies at St. Andrew's Episcopal School in Austin, right before I came out here to be with you all at St. Thomas. Like most Episcopal schools, St. Andrew's serves a very diverse population. Only about 20% of the students identify as Episcopalians. The rest are Roman Catholics, Protestants, Jewish, Muslim, Hindu, Buddhist, none of the above, or none at all. St. Andrew's has chapel 5 days a week, and most of the chapel services use the morning office, or morning prayer, from our Book of Common Prayer as the template around which the services are constructed. The goal of chapel, which lies at the heart of the goal of all Episcopal education, is not to make little Episcopalians. That is to say, the goal is not to proselytize or to try to make converts. Rather, the goal is to cultivate in students a love of virtue, a heart for serving others, faith in the power of God's goodness and grace, and the recognition that each student is of infinite value, yet part of a universe that's larger than themselves, a universe that's filled with meaning and purpose. The common prayer that's spoken and sung in chapel at St. Andrew's draws on the ancient traditions of the church and is at the same time hospitable, inclusive, and inviting for those of every tradition or none at all. One of the many indicators I had that our mission was working came one day when the mom of one of our families, who were major benefactors of the school, was honored for her service as a volunteer in almost every aspect of student life. This woman and her family were and are observant Jews. In her remarks accepting the award, she went on at length about how chapel at St. Andrew's, with its ideals of service and spiritual growth, was so important to her and to her family. She said that she was asked once by a fellow member of her temple's congregation why she and her husband sent their four children to an Episcopal school where there was chapel 5 days a week. "Oh, but you don't understand," she said to her friend. "Chapel at St. Andrew's has made my children better Jews." Yeah, that's right. Chapel, rooted in the heart of Jesus' teaching to love God and love his neighbor. And a chapel rooted in the witness of Jesus' life of sacrificial love and welcome and hospitality for all, had deepened her children's appreciation of their own traditions, values of reverence for God the Creator and reverence for the divine call for justice and compassionate service in the world. See, this is such a wonderful example of Jesus the teacher reaching out beyond the borders and the boundaries of one particular tribe, the tribe we call the Episcopal Church, the tribe we call the Christian tribe. If you see what I mean, Jesus reaches out beyond those boundaries and borders with a healing message for the whole world. Now, there's another thing about being a teacher that I discovered, and that's how much a good teacher learns from her or his students. My 17 and 18-year-old students would routinely have insights into texts that I hadn't considered. And on at least two occasions, a student pulled me aside to tell me that something I had said inadvertently might have been hurtful to another student in the class. I was so grateful for their courage and their compassion for their fellow student and for giving me an opportunity to heal what might have been a broken relationship. What great teachers my students turned out to be. So, here we are this morning with our gospel text offering us an example of a teachable moment. But on this day, the teacher isn't Jesus. No, on this day, the teacher is the dear woman with whom Jesus has this strange encounter. Now, first, we want to notice that Jesus has crossed over into Gentile country. He's beyond Israel's borders into what we know today as Lebanon. And he's been approached by a Syrophoenician woman, whom today we would call a Lebanese woman. And she's a double outsider. She's both a Gentile and a woman. And this outsider, this stranger, has an urgent request for Jesus. Her daughter's possessed by a demon. Would Jesus please come quickly and heal her? Now, a couple of things to notice here. First, Jesus has been on the road and working hard for quite a long time. When you read a little before this encounter in Mark's gospel, you'll find that Jesus has been traveling and working almost nonstop. So, the very human Jesus needs some space and some downtime. Because he's just bone tired. He's dog tired. The second thing to note is that this woman breaks at least three traditional barriers in approaching Jesus. She lives outside the land of Israel and outside the law of Moses, which means she is implicitly impure. And she's a woman, unaccompanied by her husband or a male relative, and she initiates a conversation with a strange man, and that was also a taboo. And finally, her daughter, because she was possessed by a demon, would also have been considered impure. So there are three barriers that are being crossed here. And so Jesus, in the midst of his dog tiredness and in the face of all these barriers being broken, really lets her have. "I'm not here for the likes of you," he says. "Let the children be fed first, for it's not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." Really? I mean, really? You know, I don't know about you, but every time I hear that, I stop and I'm pulled up short. Where's my warm and cuddly Jesus? You know, where's that avatar of compassion and grace and love, where is he in that statement? It feels harsh. It almost feels brutal. Now, the children that he's referring to are the children of Israel, and the dogs are outsiders. That is, everybody else like this woman. Now, here's where I think Jesus the teacher becomes Jesus the student. The woman won't take no for an answer. "Sir," she says, "even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Now, if you really stop and sit with this story a while and imagine that this is the truly human Jesus, the one not just an angel who's taken on human form, but a real human being, and we affirm that every time we say the Nicene Creed, that Jesus is fully human. If you really sit with this story and think about, on the one hand, the dog-tired, the bone-tired Jesus who's got a mission that he understands and who's busy carrying out that mission, even in the midst of all of his exhaustion. If you stop and think about that Jesus and then listen to what has been asked of him, you can begin to almost sense the shift here. You can almost hear him saying to himself, "Of course, God's love, the love that I embody and incarnate, that love doesn't have any tribal boundaries." You can just hear him saying that to himself. Of course, God's love is for everyone. Of course, God's love is for the whole world. No one's excluded. No one is left out at the table. See, the woman's persistent faith has been an eye-opener for Jesus and has burst through his exhaustion. "Go home," Jesus tells her. "The demon has left your daughter." You know, when we read the whole of Mark's gospel, we'll see that this story is one of the turning points in Jesus' life. It marks his awareness that it's not just Israel that needs God's healing grace. It's everyone, everywhere. And it's a stranger, an outsider to Israel, who brings the teaching. So here we are this morning, the beginning of September, which means the beginning of the school year, and the beginning of our program year here at St. Thomas, with faith formation starting up again. Our gospel reading on this day, I hope, presents some challenges for us. One of these challenges to all of us is to continue to learn, just like Jesus, to be lifelong learners. You can do that here at St. Thomas in Bible studies and centering prayer groups, the adult forums on Sundays, and just as importantly, maybe wonderfully accessible to everyone, I hope, and new this year, these new offerings we have on Sunday night. Check out the flyer in your worship sheet. There's so much, there's something for everyone. Our idea is that Sunday evenings are going to be family night at St. Thomas. We'll all gather to share a meal, and then there are many different offerings for adults, for children and youth, in two different periods surrounding dinner time. So there's something that will draw you here on Wednesday night. So please take a look. And then, at the conclusion of the service, come to Homecoming at the Ebsworth Life Center and take a look at all the opportunities for service and connection that you'll see there. Those are all learning opportunities. And that leads to a second challenge. Spiritual nourishment for us is important. That's no doubt about that. But our work can't end there. Like Jesus himself, we have to be called to a larger vision for who we are. Our vision for ourselves has to be one that seeks out, one that invites, one that embraces, one that goes to the outsider, one that goes to the stranger. A vision that goes to even the ones we might think of as our enemies. That's why I spent so much time telling you about Episcopal School Chapel. It's a great example of the teaching of Jesus, the love of Jesus, the witnessing of Jesus, moving outside of the boundaries of the church and speaking to the world outside. Why do you let your Jewish children go to an Episcopal school chapel 5 days a week? Because it makes them better Jews. So let's keep learning about who Jesus is, and then let's take that learning outside these walls and share it with ones who aren't accustomed to being invited. Let's be as brave as the dear Syrophoenician woman and insist that God's healing grace isn't only for the ones who look and talk and act like us. And let's let her be our teacher too. Let's let her teach us that Jesus is the one we can come to in our most desperate and terror-filled times, just like she did. You know, there's no feeling more desperate than a mother with a sick child who can't find the cure for her child's illness. There's nothing more desperate than that. And what does she do? She comes to the one who seems to be the only one who can offer her any hope. And Jesus is the one in whom we can hope when all our hope seems lost. Jesus is the one who takes what seems like our meager crumb of need and calls it faith. She reminds us that what at first might seem to be only scraps for the dogs becomes a feast of grace when we bring our vulnerable and broken hearts to Jesus. You know what? That's really good news. And there's a world beyond our walls that's dying to hear it. So my prayer is that one of our learnings here will continue to be that when we share what might feel like the crumbs of our faith with the ones outside our doors, these crumbs will feed a lot of hungry people. So welcome back, my dear brothers and sisters. Welcome home. In this coming year, let's be fed here in this place so that we can go out the door, down the street, and across the bridge to feed the ones outside our walls. Just as Jesus is feeding us, bring your hungry and broken hearts. Bring your crumbs of faith. Offer them all to Jesus. And let Jesus transform all of your pain. Let Jesus transform all of your fear into hope. Amen.
For more information about St. Thomas Episcopal Church, please visit our website, www.stthomasmedina.org. That's www.stthomasmedina.org.